الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلنا نومكم سباتا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in His glorious book, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, and we have made your sleep as a rest. Now, if you look at people's lives, you see that in every aspect of our lives, we aim to maximize our production. So for example, when a person goes out to get a job, they try to get the highest paying job that they can. When a person goes out to seek education, they try to get the best education that money can buy. When a person goes out to attain any degree or any accomplishment, they always seek to aim at the pinnacle of that accomplishment. So this is human nature. Human beings, they desire to excel. Now, for the most part, we place the vast majority of our effort in excelling in what we do while we're awake. So as I mentioned, we excel in trying to at our work, we excel in our school, we seek to excel in the accomplishments that we achieve. But one of the aspects of life that's often neglected is actually sleep. And it's kind of funny because you would say, what do you mean sleep? What would you have to excel in sleep? But actually, there is a means of excelling in sleep. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us how to be excellent in our sleep. And all of that is actually based on this ayah, which I recited at the very beginning. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that He has made our sleep as rest. So, as part of our natural disposition, every single human being requires sleep. Every single human being needs to derive rest from that sleep. So what we're going to do today is we are going to go through some of the hadith and characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning sleep. Now actually the sleep of a human being, or at least in this day and age, we tend to think of sleep as something very random. It's not as purposeful. For example, we purposely get up in the morning, we purposely go to work in the morning, we purposely pursue different degrees at school. But actually, our sleep should also be purposeful. And I hope that over the next hour, inshallah, you're going to get an idea of how purposeful the sleep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So that's going to be the goal. Now, not only was this a sunnah of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, meaning to make sleep purposeful so that we can get proper rest from our sleep, but actually this was preserved by the scholars of our deen as well. And in fact, I'll tell you that much of their success, now if you look in history and you begin to analyze the different groups of people that have come through the planet and have walked across the grounds that we call Earth, you'll find varying degrees of success. But you will not find a more successful group than our scholars in what they were able to achieve and in how they were able to achieve it. And I'll tell you that one of the aspects, or one of the important aspects of their success, was actually in their sleep as well. And so hopefully this will be passed on to you, just as it was passed on by my teachers to me. So what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to outline 7 or 8 individual points about sleep. So I want each of you to note these points, and then within these points there'll be a different discussion or a different aspect concerning our sleep. Okay, the first point. The first point concerning sleep is that you have to understand that human beings, they're made up of 2 components. Every person in this room basically consists of 2 components. The first component is your body. Your physical body. Your skin, your bones, your flesh, your organs. This is your physical body. And every human being obviously consists of a physical body. The second component of a human being is their soul. Now the soul is not something tangible. You can't put your hand on something and call it the soul. The soul is what brings life to the body, but actually we have to remember that the body is merely a vehicle for the soul. Meaning it's the soul that's the essence of the human being. On the day of our death, our body is buried into the ground, and for the vast majority of us, the body will simply disintegrate. And when the body disintegrates, what's actually remains and what's kept alive is the soul. And that's the essence of the human being that will be rewarded on the day of judgment or will be punished on the day of judgment. So actually, the soul is the essence of a human being. But we're made up of two components in this life. We have a body and we have a soul. Now, the goal of the human being in this life is that they elevate the soul and that they keep the body restricted in its nature. So what's the nature of the human body? The nature of the human body is to be animalistic. It's created from the ground. It's the animalistic characteristic within a human being. So the body wants to eat. This is what animals do. They want to eat. The body wants to sleep. This is what animals do. They sleep. The body wants to reproduce. This is what animals do. They reproduce. So all of these aspects of the body, this is the natural tendency of the body to want to eat, to want to sleep, to want to reproduce. So that's our body. The natural tendency of the soul is to be elevated. And that's the goal of every human being. And that is the soul desires to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that natural instinct within a human being that says, wait a minute, there's more to life. Wait a minute, why was all this around me created? Wait a minute, I'm not really at peace with myself. I need to connect myself to something higher. And you'll see that human beings that emphasize their natural disposition, they have this calling within them. Often if you meet a convert, somebody who converted into the deen, you'll see that they'll be very natural people. People who tend to go hiking, people who tend to spend time in nature, people who tend to reflect on life. And that's because they recognize the natural calling of their soul towards something higher or greater than the creation around them, namely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So human beings are all consist of these two components. We have a body and we have a soul. Now the general goal of the Sharia is made up of laws. The Sharia is the name of the laws of Islam. They're very particular, okay? You're not allowed to look at this, you are allowed to look at that. You're not allowed to eat this, you are allowed to eat that. You're not allowed to go here, you are allowed to go there. So these are very simplistically stating what the Sharia is. Obviously the Sharia is much more detailed, but simplistically stated, what does the Sharia do? The Sharia creates an environment for a human being to elevate their soul and to restrict the body. Now how does it restrict the body? It says, okay body, you can eat these foods, but you can't eat those foods. You can go to these places, but you can't go to those places. You can look at these things, but you can't look at those things. So when the Sharia restricts the body, what it's doing is recognizing that the animalistic nature within a human being needs to be limited. And at the same time, the Sharia says, you need to pray, elevating the soul. You need to give zakah, elevating the soul. You need to fast, elevating the soul. You need to go on hajj, elevating the soul. You need to share with your brothers. You need to treat one another kindly, etc., etc. All of these things are meant to elevate the soul. So in a very simplistic and basic level, what the Sharia demands from us as human beings is that we limit the interaction of the body with the world around us, control it, and that we cause the soul to grow. That's a general principle that exists every single day. When you go out into the street, you're not allowed to look at anything you want to look at. When you pass by a billboard and it's inappropriate, you have to lower your gaze. Because otherwise the animalistic characteristics within the human being will become aroused and they'll end up going to the next step, to the next step, to the next step, and performing something haram, na'udhu billah. So this is the general principle of the Sharia on a daily basis. And it achieves its pinnacle in the month of Ramadan. So what happens in Ramadan? We tell the body, no food. We tell the body, no drink. We tell the body, no interaction with husband and wife. So what are we doing? We're actually restricting the body. And then we tell the body, come to the Tarawih prayer. We tell the soul, come to the Tarawih prayer. Increase your recitation of the Quran. Spend more time giving charity. Think about what you're doing with your life during this month. And so that's the greatest example of the progress of a human being. Now that's the time when each of us in this room says, SubhanAllah, this is what the deen is about. That's when we sit down and think, okay, this is what Islam is really about. This is what it means to be a Muslim. At that time when we have restricted our body and we have elevated the soul, that's when we achieve our purpose. And so this is actually the understanding that you must have in order to understand what I want to say concerning sleep. This is one general principle. We're still on point number one. Now remember that sleep is the need of the body. It is not the need of the soul. The soul doesn't need to sleep. The body needs to sleep. And depending on who you are and how much you control your body, you'll need a minimal amount of sleep or you'll need a maximal amount of sleep. Now there are some individuals, for example, the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, who basically restricted their interaction of their body in this life to those few things that were found within the sunnah, and they avoided all the haram.